The Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the people who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? This man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." For he did not say this on his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, amen. Certainly, we are living in a different time. I can only imagine some of what's going on in the lives of others. Lots of things have changed. In fact, in some ways, everything has changed. Even the routine activities have taken on kind of a strange light. You drive around and you see how few businesses are open, or you see the signs take out, and you think about all the lives that have been impacted by even just the restaurant industry. And so, you know, how many ways can we be mourning right now as we think about what's going on, not only in our nation, but around the world with this coronavirus pandemic? You know, when I was a brand new husband and father, my son showed up like just 12 days before my wedding anniversary. And I'm a brand new husband, a brand new father, and I got the bill for his delivery, which was a complicated delivery. And I can still remember, I'm sitting at my desk in my study in the home, the parsonage, and I just lay my head down on the keyboard, and I say, "Lord, how am I going to do this?" I felt so lost. I felt so hopeless. And I mean, we've all been there across the spectrum of our life, and for some of us that have been around for a while, we realize, man, that doesn't happen just once in a person's life. There's all kinds of ways where we get to a place where we just say, "What am I going to do? How is this going to work out?" And you just cry out to God and say, "God, I'm lost. I feel hopeless and helpless. What am I going to do now? What's going to happen next?" And I'm sure there's a lot of people doing that in a lot of ways right now because of the coronavirus pandemic. And yet, what is happening now has happened in the past. And there are other ways that we can be affected. And it's kind of the age-old pastoral question, but how many ways have you and I been slain by sin, death, and the power of the devil? I mean, there have been things affecting our life before the coronavirus. And yet now, what's happening with the coronavirus pandemic is a lot of people living in denial can no longer live in denial. It's bad. And it's, what am I going to do? How am I going to face what I'm going to have to face? And how is it going to work? And we can relate to what happened to the church long ago. But the question is, as we face the coronavirus, as we look at a world that's no longer able to support itself with self-denial and the magic bullet or the silver formula or the addiction, the question is how many ways are you mourning? And is that a good thing? I mean, is mourning a good thing? I mean, when I laid my head down on that keyboard, I felt lost. And I'm sure many right now feel lost. In fact, maybe you are finding yourself looking at things and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to deal with my marriage? Or how am I going to deal with parenting? Or how am I going to deal with the loss of a loved one? Or how am I going to deal with my job that's going through incredible changes through this? Those are important questions, but that's also a part of the process we call mourning, actually acknowledging it. Because in truth, people can live for a long time in denial, running away from their feelings, running away from what they're going through. And that's what the case was for the church long ago. They had rebelled against God, And they had thrown God under the bus many, many times. And they had to face the righteous judgment of God. And it was working. We pick up in Ezekiel chapter 37, where we hear this. You know, God was watching what the church was going through. And so he talks to Ezekiel, and I spent a lot of time explaining who he was before our reading. Ezekiel, in Babylon, learning how to live again, he was moved from everything he understood and loved, and he was moved to a foreign place. He had to get oriented, and there were a lot of the church there as well, and so he was trying his best to shepherd them. And so God gives them this revelation of the valley of dry bones and how Ezekiel is so supposed to speak life into them. And then we kind of cut to the chase of it in verse 11. Then God said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off.'" I mean, they're acknowledging, finally, they're coming to their senses. We call that repentance. And they're saying, "We are hurting units." I mean, how many ways can that happen in your life and my life? I mean, it can happen, as I said moments ago, in our marriages, in our parenting. I mean, pastors can get in a place in their life where they think to themselves, "How in the world can I serve your people, Lord? I feel so lost." Is that a bad thing or a good thing, admitting that? There are times when volunteers serving in various capacities in churches, they get to a place where they say, "What's the use? I can't go any further. I feel like I can't do any good." You know, that's a critical place. But that's where God lives. And hear what God has to say. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves.'" I mean, the people were buried alive. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to face what they were facing. "I will raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." So it's going to be a while. Daniel learned that it would be 70 years. I'm sure he told Ezekiel. But Jeremiah found out from the Lord that it would be 70 years that they would have to face this struggle. I sure hope that we are not going to be dealing with this pandemic for 70 years. But God would have us understand that we can call upon him and trust that he will bring us out of our struggles. I mean, life isn't easy. There are things, even when we're trying to do the right things, that don't work so well for us, and we struggle. You know, the Apostle Paul makes it a point to share with the Corinthian congregation some of his struggles. And so he says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure." Gosh, and Paul was no slouch. Paul knew what was going on. And yet he got to a place in his ministry where he, to quote him again, "far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." That's how hard it can be, even when you're trying to do the right things. Now, there are times in your life and my life where it gets hard because we've decided to do the easy thing instead of the right thing. And so we suffer. But even there, God wants us to understand that he will bring us out of our graves, that he will care for us. Because of the cross of Jesus. We know what God has done through Jesus to deliver us. And if he has done the greatest delivery there, he will help us through any and all the things that we go through. But why do we go through struggle? Why do we face challenges when we're simply trying to do the right things as we're dealing with what's going on in this world that has changed so much in the last few weeks? Paul explains it this way. "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Where are you buried alive? Where are you struggling with what's going on in your life or in the dear lives of those you cherish and you just hurt for them, God is on the way to release you of your grave. I mean, you know what's going on right now as we face this pandemic, as a world in a sense. You know, there's a lot of pressure. You might even find yourself just, you don't even know why you're on edge. You're just on edge. We're living in a pressure cooker right now. I mean, we're that frog in the beaker, and we know it's boiling. The challenge is we can't get out of it. So in those places, what is God doing? Let me read this to you again. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt a sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You know, now's the time to rely on God. Now's the time to trust in what He will do to bring us through this. No matter how weird it feels inside of us, how weird it looks outside of us, God would have us trust in Him. God would have us trust that what He did to Lazarus long ago, He has done to us and will continue to do to us. No matter how sin, the devil, and the world slay us, Christ is the one who gives us victory, and we can be alive in Him. I mean, think about it. What this precious family that Jesus loved very much was going through would in the end be used to glorify Him, our Savior Jesus. So what you and I are going through, the Lord would have us trust this. Same thing. It's the same thing He said to Martha. Or to His disciples first. First to His disciples He said, "This is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Look, the things that make us ache for ourselves, the things that make us ache for others, may they be used to glorify Jesus. Amen? And as we go through this pandemic, let's trust that what Jesus said to Martha, He says to us. I mean, this is the promise. I mean, think about it. Jesus brought a dead man out of a grave. He brought someone who was dead for 4 days to life. And where does he work in your life and my life? Where is He saying to you and to me, come forth, come out of? He said to Martha, let's read this together. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? I love that question. How does Mary reply? She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And you know, we have said the same thing. When the Lord brought us to faith, when the Lord turned on the lights and brought us to life in Him, for some of us, it's been so long. We've known it ever since we were a little child. And for others, it was when finally the gospel got in and Jesus was there calling us to believe in Him. And, you know, He is at work doing the same thing now. You know, the title of our meditation is Victory in Jesus, Alive in Christ. Drawn into new life in Christ, we can live in His renewing love and forgiveness. As we are slain by sin, death, and the devil, the Lord brings us to life. As we face obstacles and challenges through this pandemic, the Lord is there coming to our rescue, blessing us, because He cares for us. Take note about how Jesus responded when they brought Him to the grave. I mean, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Think about it. He was moved by what the family was going through, what Mary and Martha felt. He was moved by what He saw in the people who were there to support Mary and Martha. And He had compassion. That same one has compassion on you and what you're going through, so that you're not going through whatever you're dealing with alone. And it can feel so lonely when we feel so lost. You know, it's fascinating. I don't know how long it was after that desperate prayer and just feeling lost that one of the guys in our Bible study, we had a Bible study early on, I think it was a Monday morning, and it was sponsored by a few guys that would pay for everyone's breakfast. And some of the guys that attended that Bible study, that was the only church they ever had. And it was fascinating. At one of those studies, one of the sponsors asked me if I would consider working, because he had just lost his main mechanic, and he knew that I was an auto diesel mechanic. And so I talked to the elders. The elders said okay, and so the Lord opened a door to help me pay off my son's birth, and I was amazed at all the ministry I did, working on farmers' trucks and cars and visiting with them. And so it was an amazing thing. You know, as you look back, I hope you can see where a prayer of desperation or a place of danger, toils, and snare was turned into a blessing, where you find yourself grateful and you can tell the story to your legacy. It is my prayer to you young families that as your families grow, you can point back to this time and tell your children how you guys went through the great pandemic of 2020 with the Lord, knowing that He was your constant companion. You know, it's hard to apply this, though, to what we're going through. And our hearts ache for the people whose lives are very impacted by this, whether it's being affected by the coronavirus, having a loved one who has died by it, or just the financial impact that is screaming at people right now. You know, we have compassion like the Lord did, and perhaps that's another indication of how we're alive. You know, when you're alive in Christ, you do feel things. You do see the challenges of sin and death, and you do mourn, just like Jesus did. And in those cases, you know, we can trust that the Lord, His gospel will bless us, and that we will rise up out of the ashes, an army, to share with those who are hurting and struggling and mourning the same gift and medicine that we need when we're mourning our Savior Jesus, His love and His faithfulness to us in bringing us out of the ashes of our lives into the joys and hopes and blessings of Easter. May that be the life that you and I live in today and this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.